Girlfriends, episode number 368, God's Plan for Your Fertility with Jamie Rauchy. Hello and welcome to Girlfriends. I'm Danielle Bean. I'm a wife and mom, and I'm on a mission to help you know your worth as a woman so you can find peace, balance, and joy in family living. This week, we are talking with Jamie Rauchy, who is going to be sharing about a very important, intimate, life-changing girlfriends kind of topic, which is our fertility. I can't wait to share this conversation with you. Hey, girlfriend, thank you so much for being here. I am super excited to dive into this really important topic with you, with my special guest, who is just a dynamo. You're going to really love getting to know Jamie and her passion for helping women to know and understand their fertility, their bodies, their hormones. She's such a joy to talk to. But before I share that with you, I just want to remind you about the upcoming retreat that is going to be taking place online. I really would love for you to be a part of this. It's going to be featuring talks by me and Father Edward Looney. And the title of the retreat, it's just for women, is called A Heart Like Mary's. So this is a theme really focused on Mary's Immaculate Heart and what we can learn from Mary's example as women, what we can learn from Mary's heart, Mary's perspective. You know, she's a mother to all of us and she wants to guide us. She wants to teach us how to say yes to God the way that she does, how to be open and receptive to God's will in the way that she was throughout her lifetime, and how to love, how to live and love like Mary. That's what we want to do. So really focused on that in this retreat called A Heart Like Mary's, which is coming up on Saturday, May 20th. So it's going to be a live event that I would love for you to be able to participate in live, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern time. But if you can't participate live, do not let that hold you back from registering, from signing up, because you will get the recording after the fact, plus a ton of other fun goodies that are going to be part of the package over there. So this makes a great Mother's Day gift for yourself or for another mom you know, or for your own mom or for a sister or for your besties. There's actually a special discount if you purchase a registration for yourself and somebody else at the same time, but you can get all of that information over at goodcatholic.com/retreat. So check it out over there. Also, I'll have the link in the show notes over at ascensionpress.com on my social media. I'm really looking forward to connecting with you through this special event that is live, exclusive, just for you. Okay, I told you I couldn't wait to share my conversation with Jamie with you. This is a topic that affects all of us throughout our lifetimes, for better or for worse. We are affected by our fertility cycles, by our hormones, and I just love the positive experience, the positive perspective that Jamie really brings to this sometimes a very difficult topic for women. So here's my recent conversation with Jamie Rauchy. Joining me here today on Girlfriends is Jamie Rauchy. Jamie is a fertility care practitioner, the founder and owner of the Fiat Institute, an entity that trains hormone coaches, and a co-host of the Hormone Genius podcast. Jamie holds a master's degree in community health education, where she studied the effectiveness and use of fertility awareness-based methods and their exclusion from most medical settings. Jamie's personal and professional experiences have led her to believe in the power of fertility awareness to transform women, families, and culture. Jamie is passionate about bringing women's sight back into focus through an enthusiastic message of hope, empowerment, and feminine genius facts that are sure to encourage you through every season of womanhood. Jamie and her husband and four children reside in Cedar Falls, Iowa. You can learn more about her and her work by visiting fiatinstitute.com. Jamie Rauchy, welcome to the Girlfriends Podcast. I am so excited to talk with you today about this important topic.
Awesome. Well, I'm honored to be here. And gosh, I could talk about this every day and live a happy life.
Well, we could just even know in your bio, you are all about this.
Oh my gosh, I'm a total hormone fan, big time.
Okay, well, let's just see. Like, how did you start gaining this interest? Was this something that always fascinated you? Or are you like a scientist by nature? Or what was your background? How'd you come to where you are?
Yeah. Well, growing up, you know, cradle Catholic, my parents would talk about the importance of, you know, protecting the unborn and just being a, you know, a pro-life warrior in this confused culture, right? So growing up, I always just had that perspective on life, right? And so then as I would continue through into high school and college, you know, these, you know, friends that I have, and even personally, my menstrual cycle, you know, it seemed to kind of be a little annoying. And we all know when our cycle seems annoying, well, what do our doctors typically put us on? They put us on the pill, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. And so I never actually decided to go on the pill because of this deep conviction I had about when life began. And so again, I know your listeners probably come from every age and stage, and this can be sometimes a hard topic to talk about, but truly my story comes from this conviction of this understanding that life begins at conception, and I wanted to do, even at the youngest age, anything I could to protect that moment of conception. Right. Even so much of calling, you know, what this work is, protecting purpose, because God has a call for every life that's conceived in the womb. And so, again, the more I learned about birth control and its effects, I just became kind of obsessed with it and decided to study that as a master's student. And from there, got trained in fertility care as a Creighton practitioner. Got very involved with the Guiding Star Project, if you've heard of that before. Started a nonprofit healthcare center in my community where doctors are providing true, authentic women's healthcare, and no, birth control is actually part of that plan. Delivering babies, providing education, and now, like you said in my introduction, I have a podcast. I co-host a podcast, the Hormone Genius Podcast, and Fiat Institute, and it's this whole thing. So
yeah,
background. Oh, I think really that's so great. Conviction. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just fascinated. You describe yourself as a hormone fan, because I think many of us would describe ourselves as like anything but. Like, it seems like the hormones are what we're battling against. You know, I've often thought about this, like through every stage of, like, you know, young adulthood and then getting married and having babies and breastfeeding and then perimenopausal and all of these things. I'm always like, oh, it's these hormones. Like, like I'm a slave to my hormones. Like, what's been your experience of that? Like, is that part of what motivated you, was to kind of put like a clarity, first of all, on what's going on here, what the biology is, but also just to recognize what a gift our fertility is and what a gift hormones can be?
Yeah. Well, I have a story I want to share quick, and then I'm going to kind of more clearly answer that question. But as you were saying, you know, hormones, it seems like we're enslaved to hormones. It made me think of one day I was going to pick up my son from preschool, and I have a shirt that says "Hormones are cool" on it. It was nice enough not to wear my coat since I live in Iowa. And so I went to go pick up my son, and the teacher had to have been approaching menopause or was in that year-long, like, you know, state of turmoil for many women. And she looked at me and she's like, "Hormones are not cool." I'm like, ah! Like, oh, it took everything in me to not just like tell her everything I knew in that moment. But it's true. Like, we don't realize how cool hormones are. And so, again, that conviction I have is to really write that story. But yes, in terms of hormones, our hormones have a voice. Just like earlier before you got started, Danielle, you had said your knee, you know, you had knee surgery, and you had knee surgery because you had an injury and you probably felt pain. So your body was giving you information that something wasn't right, that it was giving you pain. You had to do something about it. Well, that's how I view our hormones. When our hormones are functioning well, then we don't feel those adverse effects. We can, when we come to understand and know the fluctuation of our hormones, we can begin to understand maybe why we are so ragey or why we're so nitpicky. But, you know, it's like when we understand why that's happening, we don't see it as something that's adverse. You know, we change our perspective on it and see it as something that works for us. So main point is, when our hormones seem to be fighting against us, really, our hormones are actually talking to us. They're giving us data. You know, I like to give our hormones a voice. And so really, it's giving us clues, like, something's not right. Let's do something about it. So that's, that's how I like to connect those.
I love that, because they're communicating to us. And then if we just go on the pill, like most doctors would tell us to do, it's like telling them, just shut up. Like, not addressing the problem, right?
It's like, so true.
Yeah. Stop saying that thing. You're annoying me.
Right? I love that, Danielle. Because that's what I say. Like, it's literally like if your husband were to come home and tell you something really important, right? And you shut him into a soundproof room and you're like, I want none of it. Maybe he's telling you guys are like in major debt or your house is whatever. Right. Something bad.
Right.
Like, I don't want to hear it. I'm going to put you away so I don't need to think about it. That's what we're doing with our hormones. We're putting them in a soundproof room. So we're not getting this important data. So what you said is 100% how I view that. Totally.
Yeah. And I always find that it's I mean, I hesitate to be the person that's always calling things sexist in our culture because I think women enjoy so many privileges in our culture. But at the same time, in longstanding medical practice, this is a sexist practice, mm-hmm. you know, that of putting every woman on birth control, like just get rid of the problem, just make it shut up, make it go away. You know, this is your cure all without looking at what the side effects are, without looking at the detrimental effects to the woman's health, spiritually, physically, emotionally. So I'm a huge fan of what you're doing. So let's talk a little bit about the work that you're doing at Fiat Institute. What kind of work are you doing there? What's your typical client like? Tell us all about it.
Yeah. So at Fiat Institute, it's the training body. So my quote unquote client is the woman who wants to be a hormone coach. And I prepare these women to have clients. So I'll kind of answer those both ways. I'll answer the typical client who sees a hormone coach and the typical client who comes to see me because they want to start a business. Maybe that's okay. how I can kind of answer that question. But
yeah.
So I'll start with the client who would be suited for a hormone coach. So as a fertility care practitioner myself, I'm trained in the Creighton system. And actually that's who I have my podcast with, Hormone Genius Podcast, is with Teresa Kenny, who's trained in NAPRO and has worked with Dr. Hilders for 20 years at the Pope Paul VI Institute.
Oh my gosh.
So that's her and I have our podcast together. But anyway, what I learned in that time is it was so exciting, of course, to learn about the natural times of fertility and infertility and how much our cycle in our body can tell us about the state of our fertility. But where I felt I personally felt short or something that I didn't get answered and I really was hungry for that information was the question of, well, why is there hormone imbalance? Why do women struggle? Why are women in a fight with their hormones? You know, right. So while I was equipped to help couples avoid and achieve pregnancy naturally, and while we know there are beautiful doctors, amazing world-changing doctors who are trained in these natural systems, again, to help women who do struggle with endometriosis, PCOS, all of that, there's still this very large percentage of women who may be charting their cycle, but they don't have endometriosis or PCOS.
Right.
And maybe, you know, they have this acne or head tension or mood swings or really heavy bleeding that's not endometriosis. Like, what do they do? And so that's where I didn't get those answers personally. And so I was praying, Lord, please give me guidance. And I felt very strongly convicted that I needed to build something for that because it's not there from this like Christian Catholic perspective. So there's health coaching, right? But this hormone coaching is really taking into account the health of the whole woman, celebrating the identity of woman, and making lifestyle changes to support our hormone health so that we are not in a fight with our hormones. So I can share a little bit more on that later too.
Yeah.
If you have more, but, and then the client of mine, like Fiat Institute, people who would very much love their experience going through my program, would be people who, you know, in my mind, I think I can imagine a nurse, a Christian Catholic nurse in the hospital getting so frustrated by not being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions because of what they see in the medical setting.
Oh, sure.
So they care about health. They care about their faith. They care about our identity as women, and they see our culture and our society is totally confused. And they want to start a business where they're sharing with women about the truth of their identity, of their womanhood, but then also supporting them on their hormone journey as well, so that then they can restore, you know, whatever that health ailment is, whether, again, it's mood swings, heavy bleeding, difficulty losing weight, whatever that case is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're not just entrepreneurs with a mission. We're missionaries who are entrepreneurs.
That's a great flip on it. I love that.
Yeah.
That's so great. Now, so let's talk about this idea of fertility awareness, because, you know, NFP, like, OK, so I'm older than you are. And I, you know, I learned NFP before we got married. And I say, I learned Creighton model. Okay. But that was like a few sessions with this nice lady and I had no idea what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Like, no clue. Like, I can look back now and be like, what on earth, you know? But what I took from it, and of course we got pregnant immediately and then again, and thanks be to God we did. But you know, looking back on it, I'm like, you know what? I feel like that at the time, for sure, I would say the church was, you know, just becoming open about these mm-hmm. things. Like I was talking with my mom about it and, you know, she took NFP classes, you know, several kids in and she was like, it was a bunch of hippies. Like, yeah. you know, that's who we were hanging out with. And it didn't feel like our normal, you know, crowd, but they were nice people and whatever. And then, so I think about that. And then it was becoming more mainstream by the time I was getting married and having children. Now I think there's a lot more awareness of it and, you know, probably due to the internet. I think that's a totally. Hugely helpful thing. But one thing that I took away early on was kind of that I resented a little bit about the way things were presented to me was like this happy clappy NFP is going to fix your marriage. Oh, yeah. You're going to have amazing communication mm-hmm. and, you know, all of these kind of starry eyed things that I was inclined to believe in. I was a starry eyed young married woman. Mm-hmm. And I could see that those things in a way had been a disservice to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't see those things so much anymore. I wonder if you could speak a little bit now about kind of what the cultural landscape is in the church or even outside of the church with regard to NFP. How have you seen things change and where do you think it's going?
Yeah, well, I would say so. In terms of when I started charting, I was in my mid-20s and, again, did this as a way to understand my fertility and infertility like you, like getting ready for marriage. Right. And this was the goal. And it's true because when I was meeting with clients as a fertility care practitioner, I personally was definitely happy clappy. You know, we hadn't had kids yet. Like we weren't trying to things weren't super stressful. Like and so I was that happy clappy girl promoting this in my like upper 20s ish, right?
Right.
But then things got, but then, you know, as years progress, I'm like, okay, now we're setting in. Like now I personally can understand the frustration at times with charting right. the cycle and not, you know, and always just wondering, you know, when is my true time of fertility with a Creighton method. I mean, I personally have a cycle that is very easy somewhat to understand, but I'd be working with clients who had a very difficult time, you know, understanding mm-hmm. their true fertile window. So I'd say it's twofold. One, it's the woman understanding her cycle. Some women have very easy cycles to understand. Some women don't, you know? Mm-hmm. So that can be a difficult part. Again, some more difficult than others for depending on right. the woman. And again, if the cycle is difficult to understand, well, good thing we're noticing that even though she's frustrated, that may be data, that may be hormones giving us information about something underlying. And that's happened more times than I can count, you know, like a luteal phase defect or endometriosis, something while she was frustrated, it was worth her going through that journey because, again, her body was giving her information. And then the second difficulty, so the first difficulty is, can I understand my cycle? The second difficulty is, well, you know, for our marriage. So in an ideal world, we're married to a man who, of course, we know our lovely husbands only want what's best for us. But biologically, women are at their most, like our highest libido is taking place during our ovulation time, right? That's when yeah. we want to. And so if we're trying to avoid pregnancy,
it's some kind of sick joke, right?
Yeah, right.
Or it feels that way.
Yeah.
When really it's God's plan for babies.
Exactly. It makes sense. It makes sense. Right. Like, gosh, I mean, sex, eating, drinking water, all those things, we need to survive. So God wants it to feel good. But right. again, it's hard because, you know, at times you're trying to avoid. So something I learned that I always had to bring back into my own life personally and then into, you know, the appointments that I'd be having is this concept that, you know, there's genetocentric relationships and parts of our thinking, and then there's cerebrocentric, basically fancy words of saying the things I think from my brain and the things that I'm thinking with my genitals. So if we're thinking like as human, we're not animals. So as humans, of course, we have these like animalistic tendencies. You know, we have like mm-hmm. sex drive and things, especially for women during that time of ovulation. But really what makes humans so beautiful is that we can reason, you know, like we can kind of logically think through things. So cerebrocentric sexuality is acknowledging the fact that our brain has control over our genitals. And mm-hmm. so they actually did a study where you would assume like 99% of women had their highest sex drive during ovulation, but they found it was actually split up. 50% of women found that their highest sex drive was right before their period.
Oh, wow.
And the other was during ovulation. And so to me, that was like kind of, it was interesting to think, okay, while, yes, my body wants something, just like I have hunger pangs, it means I'm hungry, you know? If I'm hungry, you know, do I go for the broccoli or do I go for the cake? But that might not still make sense in this conversation at that time. You can use your imagination.
I'm sitting here like, okay, what's the broccoli?
Like, how could that? I love analogies, but that one wouldn't
tell me more about the cake.
What would be the broccoli and what would be the cake, Danielle? We can work on this analogy together. Oh, dear goodness. So like just during our, you know, the time before our period or even any time throughout our cycle, knowing like if we can as women think through those beautiful things that our husband does for us and even biohacking the cycle in a way like, hey, husband, listen, so we're trying to avoid pregnancy right now and we want each other bad. Isn't that a blessing that we want each other bad during ovulation? Because a lot of people don't want each other bad. Or the woman's sex drive might be low and she's working it out, or birth control stifles that. So praise God, mm-hmm. we want each other. But let's help each other out here and think through, what can you do for me after ovulation, husband, that makes me feel warm toward you? And all listeners, grab your pen and paper because I have a tip for you, essentially.
Okay, we're ready.
Okay, you ready? All right. So we as women, when we are ovulating, our estrogen is much higher in our body. And when our estrogen is increasing, actually, men around us, their testosterone is increasing. So typically, people think, oh, men's hormone fluctuations stay stable. And no, actually, their hormones fluctuate more than women in a 24-hour time period.
Interesting.
So men's testosterone respond to many things. So a man's walking down the street and he sees a gun shop or hunting Cabela's. He sees Cabela's.
The Cabela's response.
Exactly. Yeah, truly. The testosterone goes zip. Or if he sees a fight in the alleyway, his testosterone goes up. If his wife is ovulating, his testosterone will respond. Crazy enough, it'll increase. So after ovulation, if we were to tell our husbands, like, listen, like that, like, sex drive isn't going to be as strong, but I'm going to want you more when you're more nurturing with the kids and when you're more nurturing to me. Because unlike the time when I'm super fertile and I want a sweaty man with a 5 o'clock shadow with rippling muscles, you know, somebody who's going to, like, you know, help with population, you know, let's populate the earth. After ovulation, our body is in a state of preparing for gestation, even if we didn't conceive. So our mm-hmm. body is, again, morphing in ways. We all know this as women. Our breasts become more sensitive and tender. We crave more food. It's because it's our body's way of making sure we have, you know, this nutrition for our possible baby. So mm-hmm. what also we are looking for is we're staying close to home. We're staying close to really good friends. Rather than going out in the town, getting a drink with our friends, we want to stay close and have tea. But we also want our husband close to us. And we're going to like it when we see our husband, again, playing with our children and being really comforting to us. So this is a little hack. After ovulation, you're working to avoid pregnancy, let's say, and you want to enjoy your spouse and, you know, give it your best, really what you do, is just say, hey, I need you to nurture me. And just see what happens, ladies. I have a feeling the tides will turn in your favor.
Okay, everybody, I hope you are taking notes, because this is like probably, you could tell me better than I would know, but the most common frustration, I think, that people feel like they're using NFP to avoid, and it can turn into what feels like a battle of the sexes or a battle against your own body in some ways. And, you know, I was laughing when you were describing that generally ovulation for many women is a time when they experience the most desire. And I was remembering my husband, Dan, years ago, he used to say, like, okay, if you're avoiding, like, if she wants to, it don't. Like, that was just, it was like NFP summed up in a simple little sentence there. Like, okay, how is that fair? But I love that very real practical advice, hormonally based and practical advice for people who might be struggling in that way. What are some of the other things that you wish people knew about just about their fertility in a general sense, but or maybe about NFP specifically? What do you wish everybody knew?
Well, it's going to tie back to the question you asked in terms of, like, what's coming, like what's, like, on the horizon. What I want every woman to know about their fertility, like your listeners know, our fertility is a gift. And we can say that a million times. Like, right. You know, it's a gift. And we know that, yes, it's a gift. but it's hard to understand why it's a gift. And I think we can understand it's a gift when we understand how our cycle works, like what our hormone fluctuations are. So, you know, I could go through the whole cycle, and maybe I will if you would like me to, but I want to say this. What I wish every woman knew right now in this day and age about their fertility is that there's something called femtech. Femtech is technology now that has developed since you, Danielle, and I started charting our cycle that actually gives us data about our hormones. So, you know, the reason the cycle can get frustrating is because we need to make these observations on our body, like on the signs of our fertility, and that can be confusing. But now there are monitors and ways to test our hormone levels all from home.
Oh, wow.
Where you get the double check. And so, like, for me, I personally really love, it's called Inito, Inito.
Okay.
And it's a device that you snap onto your phone, and you get a little pee stick. You put the pee stick in a thingamajigger that you're putting on your phone, and it's tracking your hormones, all
wow.
of them. Your estrogen, your progesterone, your FSH, your LH. There's no other device that measures all four.
That's amazing.
All wow. four of them. So if
I did not know,
it's I can imagine that's going to save a lot of marriages.
I would say because I always felt like it's just information. People, like, you know, people get all worked up about, like, oh, you shouldn't use NFP. Some people in some, you know, far corners of the church say that, and other people are like, well, it just, you know, it's not effective on the other side. And yet I always just feel like it's just information. People have a right to information
yeah.
about their bodies.
Yeah.
And it's nothing but a benefit to learn more about how your body functions and where you're at and what these kinds of fluctuations are throughout your typical cycle. But okay, now speaking to you as an older mom, mm-hmm. I have to ask about the perimenopausal part of this.
Oh, sure.
Like, are there applications for, you know, that femtech that you were talking about for women who are more in my stage of life? What are you seeing in clients?
Yeah. So I would definitely encourage women who are in perimenopause to get this Inito monitor or some monitor, type in fertility monitor. There probably are others that measure all four, but I would look mm-hmm. for a monitor that measures all four because, of course, as we're reaching menopause, our hormone factory, our ovaries, are starting to shut down. I think about mm-hmm. like, you know, a big building, huge building, and you shut the lights off and it goes, pa-kung, 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 like each section
right.
of the store shuts down. That's how I envision our ovaries as we're approaching menopause. It's like starting mm-hmm. to power down. And because of that, the hormones that used to serve us so well, again, sometimes we don't know that, but they really are. So our estrogen is a superpower hormone that protects our heart, our brain, and our bones. And that's running rampant during our childbearing years if we are not covering it up with artificial contraception. So mm-hmm. that's another thing too, is when we're on the pill, we are at much higher risk of heart disease, Alzheimer's, and osteoporosis because we yeah. need our estrogen to protect those things. So estrogen now that gives us energy, gives us sex drive, protects our bones, XYZ, is starting to shut down. Progesterone, which is a hormone that occurs after ovulation, that's a sedating hormone. So if you're doing this monitor, or measuring your hormones, going to the lab or whatever, you're going to start noticing that these hormones are starting to decrease. Testosterone, you know, they're starting to decrease. And hormones like FSH starts to increase. And so I think the first part is to know that perimenopause is the years before menopause. Menopause on average takes place at age 51. That's like the average age. And then mm-hmm. it can be about 10 years prior to menopause where women are starting to feel really uncomfortable. And I had a friend and we were talking about this and she's like, I didn't even know what perimenopause was. I didn't know that was a thing. So I think mm-hmm. the first thing is this, to answer your question. First, know it's a thing. And yeah. second, know that we're also not a slave to this change. Because when I say, oh yeah, all these hormones are decreasing that protect you and like, good luck, you know, well, thanks a lot, Jamie.
Like, I know. Great. I can just watch them decrease on my monitor.
yeah. Like that. How does that help me? But I would say this, we don't not produce estrogen and testosterone. We do. We just don't produce them from our ovaries anymore. The amount okay. that we do produce, while far limited, are now being produced by our adrenals. And so I always tell women, we need to really leverage the health of our adrenals. So what are our adrenals? Our adrenals produce cortisol and adrenaline and all these things, but they're right above our kidneys. And so it's like that fight or flight response, you know, when we start feeling really anxious. And, you know, in that perimenopause age, typically, you know, women are, their stress is increasing. You know, maybe they're getting their kids off to college, their parents maybe are sick and they care for their parents, or their stress increases. So I say it's a perfect opportunity, while it's so hard to start new habits. You know, self-care is an overused word, but truly it's not. It might be an overused word, but it's not an unimportant word.
Yeah, right.
Taking care of our adrenals. And I'll give you one tip for the listeners. I know, like, I could talk for hours on this. but if you guys like herbs, florals, essential oils, okay? If you're like more natural, holistically minded, this is an easy thing we can do for our adrenals. So we think about like lavender essential oil. I'm really into oils. I'm very fascinated by how God, he knows about all the secrets of his plants and of all that he created in this earth. It's no surprise to him. He created it for us. So there is an essential oil called magnolia. Well, it's magnolia, the flower, but there's an oil. And it's three times more calming than lavender. And so the number one thing I offer as an option for women who are major stressed out, like whatever it is, whatever the age, honestly, I have them put the magnolia right on their adrenals. And it's interesting to see how calming that is. And it's easy. You know, obviously,
where do you get that?
If you do a quick search, you want to make sure that the oil is clean.
Yeah, and that's pure.
I mean, there's all this to it. I mean, if people want to reach out to me directly, I can share like where I get my magnolia oil from. But just making sure, you know, you could get it from any essential oil place. But the key is you don't want an oil that is laced with garbage.
Right.
I mean,
right,
that's a whole other. Exactly. That's a whole other.
Yeah. We'll do a different show on that. Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time here, but let us know, where can people go to find out more information about you and the important work that you're doing, Jamie?
Yeah. Yeah. You can visit my website at www.fiatinstitute.com. You can also visit my Instagram, which is fiat_institute. And then again, if you're looking to meet with somebody for hormone coaching, you can also reach out and I can get you connected to a hormone coach. You can email me at jamie@fiatinstitute.com. Or if you're wanting to learn more about hormone coaching, you can also reach out to me at that email.
Fantastic. This has been such a delightful conversation. So enlightening for me and encouraging too. I love to meet a fan of hormones. It's a rare special treat these days.
Totally.
So great. Well, thank you, Jamie, for all the important work that you are doing for women and for the church and for the world at large. And thank you for coming on Girlfriends to share about it.
Yeah. Thanks, Danielle.
We've got more of the show coming up for you, but first we're going to take a quick break. I'm Danielle Bean, and you're listening to the Girlfriends Podcast.
Hi, my name is Father Mike Schmitz. I am the host of the Catechism in a Year podcast. If you've been following along with us, you know that God's plan for us is a plan of sheer goodness, that he wants to bring us into a relationship with him. You know that already. One of the ways that God actually brings us into this relationship and keeps us, sustains us in this relationship, is through the sacraments. Again, you might know that already. You might further know that so many of us miss out on the beauty and the power of the sacraments. But Ascension has an answer to this. Ascension has created two new programs. One is called Renewed, Your Journey Towards First Reconciliation. The second is Received, Your Journey Towards First Holy Communion. We know that our youth, they're our future. And yet at the same time, it's so hard oftentimes to reach them with this incredible news of God's love for them in reconciliation, God's love for them in the Eucharist. If you want to check out Ascension's new program, Renewed, Your Journey Towards First Reconciliation, and Received, Your Journey Towards First Communion, go to ascensionpress.com and sign up for a free preview.
All right, welcome back. Now we're at the point in the show where I like to share some listener feedback. And this week I heard from Rachel. So here is what Rachel said. I have about zero writing experience for the most part. I loved writing in high school. Essays were my absolute favorite assignment, and I always scored very high grades for them. But that was a long time ago and obviously not a professional scene. The thought of writing a book is so exciting to me. I guess I'm asking for guidance since you have such an extensive writing background. Should I take a couple of courses in writing before attempting so that I have something to my name? Do I write this book that I have in mind and then find someone to publish it? Should I maybe find someone to bring on board with me to help with this? I have no connection, so I was hoping maybe you could give me some solid advice or guide me in the right direction. Or if you think this is just a pipe dream, please say that. I would hate to take on a project and then have nothing done with it. Okay, so I'm going to stop there because she shares more details about the particular writing project she wants to work on, and I want her idea to remain her own idea. So I'm just going to say, Rachel, first of all, I am thrilled for you. I'm thrilled for you because if God has put this on your heart, there's a reason for it. He has a plan for it. So it's a plan for the good. Maybe you don't know the details of how it's going to work out yet, but it's something that you are meant to respond to. And I love that you're open to that. I love that you're feeling this inspiration, you're feeling this call, and that is just nothing but a good thing. But second of all, I would say maybe what you're envisioning or the process of how you're envisioning it or whatever, it's going to look different from what you're actually going to be called to do. And I say this from my own experience, like, you know, early on in when I was very first starting to do any kind of writing, I had certain kinds of goals in mind. And I don't even remember all of them now, but the ones that I do, I think are laughable. I'm like, that was not what I was meant to be doing. That was not what God was calling me to. That was a distraction or whatever. But they were all part of the process of me figuring out what God wanted me to do with my work, with my writing. So just be open to that idea that it might look different from what you're envisioning, but just, you know, always be doing the next step, you know, just looking into the next step. And so talking about that next step, I would say with the particular idea that you shared of the kind of theme that you want to write on, I would say consider starting a website. It's pretty cheap to put together a website just with the basics, maybe a place where you can write. Maybe you can have a little blog. Maybe you can share some photos or whatever. Just something like that can be a little project that you begin working on to kind of develop this idea that you have for something that you think might be a book. Maybe it starts out as a website. Maybe you could build a community around this. Just start like with something like that. And then if you have something online, like a website, it's not about like, I don't want you to get all discouraged because you're not having hundreds of thousands of visitors every day. Don't worry about stats. Like, worried about producing this little project here online, you know, working on it and just growing it into and kind of cultivating it, experimenting with it to see what it might become. So the point in the beginning wouldn't be to have something professional that you're going to be sharing with the world so much as something that you're working on in a place for you to be putting your work. And then I would say, do one little thing each week. You know, maybe there's going to be, you know, some weeks where you have more time than others, but make that your goal, like one little goal each week, put it on your calendar so that you spend time working on this and so that you'll be making forward progress. And just know that, like last week's episode where you were talking about creativity, moms can be creative. So enjoy that process and enjoy that process of you know, allowing yourself that space to be creative. And, you know, the other stuff is going to fall into place. So all of the nitty gritty, it's, you know, you have a ton of questions about like where, when, how, with who, and all of this. And I would say those questions are going to be answered in time. But truly just beginning with this project, this idea you have, kind of building on it and kind of creating this place. And I really think a website is the way to do it. Whether you ever share it with anybody or not, just having it all in one place, kind of sharing your thoughts, your ideas, your different takes on this particular theme, this topic you're talking about, I think is a great way to get started, to practice your writing, to maybe have a few things in place to share with somebody else. Or when you get to the point when you're like, okay, I think there's like enough material here that I might like to put together a larger project. I might like to actually write a book with this. Then you'll have a place where the things are together and you can share it with somebody, you know, potentially a publisher or something along those lines. Like, here's what I do. You know, here's what I'm envisioning for the kind of book I'm thinking about, and kind of go from there. So what I'm kind of encouraging you to do is to not start with the book. Like, you're feeling like, I want to write a book. Maybe don't start with the book. The book can be a goal for sure, and it's a great goal. But I would say start with, you know, consistent work on this idea, this project. And I think starting with a website is a really flexible, not too large financial investment, and a, you know, very practical way to allow yourself the space to be devoting some time to this, working toward this goal each day. And, you know, this advice that I'm sharing here applies to anybody who has a, like a lofty goal. You know, I talk to moms all the time who are sometimes even a little bit embarrassed, like sharing with me, I have this idea for like, you know, this business I want to create, or I have this idea for a book I want to write, or an idea for, you know, a video series I want to make, or something they want to share with the world. And it feels big and it feels lofty and they don't know where to begin. And I think kind of setting it up in your own space and beginning where you are. So that can mean something as simple as a website or sharing on social media or whatever. But then having that kind of accountability where you want to be working on this, this is a goal of yours, do one little thing on it each week and make sure it's on your calendar. Make sure you're devoting a time, maybe even more than that, if you can afford more time than that, that you're devoting to this. And it will become something. It will become something more. It'll grow from there. And, you know, like I said at the start, if God has put this on your heart, he's done it for a reason. He has a plan for you. It might not look exactly like what you're thinking right now. Maybe it will. But be open to what God is calling you to do and be faithful in that one little next step toward your larger goal, one little step at a time. All right, I hope that's helpful, Rachel. If you have a question you'd like me to take up in this section of the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me, danielle@daniellebean.com. That's all the time we have for today. But before we have to go, I want to remind you to sign up for the retreat. It is at goodcatholic.com/retreat. It won't be the same if you're not a part of this special exclusive live event just for you, A Heart Like Mary's, featuring talks by me and by Father Ed Looney. Really looking forward to participating in this event together with you and the good things that can come from it. Check it out for a Mother's Day gift as well. But for now, I just want to thank you for being here. Thanks for being part of the show today. Thank you for all the ways you participate in the Girlfriends community here in the podcast and over at girlfriendscommunity.com. All the ways that we connect and share together are so important to me. I don't take that for granted. I am so honored. I know it's a privilege, the fact that you share your time with me each week, and I am so grateful for it. So thank you so much for being here. And until next time, I hope you enjoy your day and God bless your week. Girlfriends is a collaboration between DanielleBean.com and Ascension, the leader in Catholic faith formation.